You don't want mad members in March or any other month of the year.
Amen.
Welcome back to the Facts About PAX podcast. I'm Michaela Isler, NAPAX Executive Director, and my all-star team is right here beside me. Adam Belmar and David Schild, welcome back to Center Court.
It's March Madness, Michaela, but you don't need a bracket or a ball to enjoy this episode.
I might have spent high school as the water boy, but I'm here to make three-pointers for the best PAC podcast in America. When we talk about being in the game, we're talking about the game that involves employee-funded or business trade association PACs. And everybody in our league has something that drives them a little mad, whether it's in March or any other month of the year. So I'm looking forward to talking about that today.
As am I. So coming up in just a few minutes, the Facts About PAX take on March Madness.
The Facts About PAX podcast is produced especially for the members of the National Association of Business Political Action Committees. In every episode, we recap this week's NAP activities, share actionable intelligence and best practices, all while connecting the PAC community. And today's episode is brought to you by Quorum. Quorum is a public affairs software platform that provides solutions for legislative tracking, grassroots advocacy, stakeholder management, and most important to the listeners of the Facts About PAX podcast, PAC management. As PACs are deep in their election year efforts, it's hard to believe, but soon you'll need to be thinking about how you can improve for the next cycle. And that's where Quorum PAC comes in. Quorum provides an all-in-one platform for managing PAC contributions, compliance reporting, and member engagement. With Quorum PAC, you can raise money, report results, and stay compliant with modern, easy-to-use tools and support from a team of industry experts.
Well, thanks, Adam, for that. And I want to just also shout out thank you to our longtime sponsor, Quorum, for their support, not only of this episode, but also of our association. You know, just a few NAP activities to touch on as we speak. All of our roundtables are going on, whether you're a corporation, trade association, or a membership organization. These continue, Adam and David, to be so popular with our members. It's an opportunity for folks to come together, talk about what's on their mind, issues they're facing. There's a lot that they're facing in this moment.
Yeah, this is the week to say that being a part of these kind of professionalization continuing education sessions, this is a great Easter egg, right? This is the week to say that because you can crack these things open. There's something sweet inside. And here's what I love. You take these pieces of knowledge back to your PAC board, back to your boss, back to your contributors, and they're like, you're a genius. And you think, I got it at NAPAC.
That's true. I also just want to share with you guys, I'm really excited about this. We are partnering with Business for America on a really kind of a full day workshop on managing the political risks of 2024. It's a little bit of a new effort for us and a great partnership with Business for America. So I hope our members will take a look at that invitation that went out this week. Talk about David trying to get prepared for what's coming our way. This is going to set everybody on the right course, I think.
Yeah. And I think, again, this is a special year. We talked about it on the last show. It's not a typical year. It's a presidential election year. We got the entire House. We got a third of the Senate up. This is where the rubber meets the road for a lot of PACs, but it's a year of probably more preparation and more lead time than you might otherwise have. And with that, I want to get down to business. You know, it is an easy time to be positive. Spring is sprung. We're on the cusp of a historic solar eclipse, which I know we're all excited about. But more than that, right, in March, when I hear March Madness, I don't just think about busted brackets. I think about the things that bust my sense of calm, the things that bust my serenity, the things that, well, sometimes
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So let's talk about some of the things that drive us mad when it comes to PAC management and PAC administration. And I'm going to start with the first one, which is all of the apologies I hear out there for doing what we do. There is this old thesis that says that once you apologize for doing something, you have cast it in a negative light. And I think, as we've talked about on this show before, there's a generally negative attitude about money and politics. Don't let it infect your PAC communications and your PAC solicitation. And here's the way that that actually happens. You or one of your executives or one of your PAC champions stands up and they say the following: you know, I'm really sorry to have to do this. This is just the way the game is played in Washington. I don't like it either, but we got to be a part of this dirty, corrupt system. And people think they're identifying with their audience. They think they're sharing some sympathy about a viewpoint. But you know what you're doing? You're casting transparent, above board, well-regulated political participation into the same dark stew that is 501c4s and super PACs and dark money and all the other stuff that gets people riled up. Don't do it.
Yeah, I love this. I had an interesting experience with some of my students in the class because I always lead with why these reforms back in the 70s were seen as a positive reform and that this was a good thing, right? That creating these sort of transparent, very transparent, accountable, regulated forms of giving to be able to engage so many more people in the process from small dollar donations. It's been fascinating to hear my students because they often say, I didn't realize that PACs were a positive thing. And it's all in how you deliver it from the get-go.
Yeah, it just strikes me that you don't apologize for being involved in the democratic process. You don't apologize for doing the only other thing that the law tells us you can do besides vote, which is pull out your pocketbook and support candidates who share your views on critical issues. The minute that you cast that as a quote unquote necessary evil, you're just playing into these terrible narratives that say, hey, yes, elected officials regulate you. Yes, they affect your bottom line. Yes, they affect your ability to make a living. But you should just sit back and not be involved because involvement is somehow dirty or inappropriate. I don't believe that. If you really believe that, maybe you're in the wrong line of work.
Absolutely perfect. I think one of the ones that comes to my mind, and David Shield really educated me on this. I mean, I'm very familiar with PACMatch, and I love to help people bring new folks into a program where PACMatch is a possibility. But you know what will really drive you mad? When programs take their eye off the ball when it comes to beneficiary charities in the PACMatch program. Now, David has pointed out to me as a former practitioner that the care and duty and stewardship of all of those contributions as they go out the door towards candidates are always going to come along with crossed T's and dotted I's. But if you want to reach your audience, make sure that you don't short shrift or get crosswise on the beneficiary charities of your PAC match.
Well, I will go deep into my personal story well here and tell you that when I was managing thousands of PAC contributions and I was hyper-focused on making sure that no primary contributions were misdesignated for the general and everyone's payroll deduction was right to the second decimal place, it was because I believe in this mantra, you have to be a good steward of the dollars with which you are entrusted. But you know what I wasn't keeping my eye on? PACMatch. And I had an executive who was maxing out every year to the PAC. We never screwed up collecting his $5,000. We never screwed up his communications, his thank you notes. But you know what we did screw up? The check to the Hartford Symphony through PACMatch. And boy, oh boy, did my phone start ringing the minute that we made that mistake. Now, did we do the political administration correctly? We absolutely did. Did we cause a headache for his personal charity and the thing that he was invested in through PACMatch? We absolutely did. That was on us. We needed to be accountable for that mistake. But I would bet that most of your contributors are going to pick up the phone or fire up that email a lot faster when you mess things up for their charity than if you make a simple compliance mistake on the PAC administration side. Don't get it wrong. It's a benefit that affects other people. And here's another disconnect, right? It has an emotional magnet for your contributors, maybe in a way that their PAC money does not. Don't get it wrong.
You don't want mad members in March or any other month of the year.
Amen.
All right. So moving on to the March Madness, and I don't know, I think we've evolved over time, but I do get frustrated when PACs decide to get involved in presidential races. If you want to see your members upset about something, pick a side in the presidential election. It's really, I would say, David, just not worth even engaging in. And I don't know that a lot do, but I do think this is something we had to mention in our March Madness episode.
You know, Michaela, this is something it's hard to ignore in a year like 2024. It absolutely is. But to me, you know, this is like driving towards Lake Michigan and thinking, I can win picking the Cubs or the White Sox. No, you can't. You're going to make enemies very quickly, all right, in the Windy City. And so what I would say to people is, look, your organization is probably split like America is split on this year's presidential election. Two things. You're not going to affect the outcome through participation in by your PAC. You're just not going to move the needle. Secondly, you're going to instantly create a divisive talking point within your organization. What do we say to contributors? We're divided on issues like gun control. We're divided on issues like abortion. What we have in common are the business concerns that affect our organization. And it's this unifying force that says, as much as we disagree, we agree on this one thing, and that's why we're coming together. If you want to split that coalition quickly, if you want to drive a wedge into your membership, start pointing to the elephant or the donkey at the top of the ticket and watch your people start to lose faith in what you're doing.
It's a really great point. And I feel like one of the things that I constantly get when David is taking a lead role in this show is attention to language. We've got to be very careful about how we talk about what we do because we don't want to leave the wrong impression. And here's one that'll drive any PAC director mad in March or any other time. It's when folks talk with loose language about donations. No one is making a donation to a PAC. It is a voluntary contribution. It is your ability to stand with your colleagues and find champions who support your business interests, understand your industry. There's transparency here, and you are not giving to a charity, David Schild.
No, this is not the Salvation Army ringing a bell at Christmas time. You are not giving money so that there can be a new playground at your kid's school. This is not, I put my money in and I walk away. You are joining a team. That is, I think, the ethos that we have to push through here. You are staking yourself at the table with your dollars. You're putting coal in the engine and you're getting on the train and you're going down the tracks, right? And I think I've probably exhausted my metaphors here, but that's what you're doing. And I think this term donation implies that somehow we're a charity, we're a drop it in the bucket and walk away. No, absolutely not. This is a contribution because what you're doing is you're pooling your resources with those of your fellow team members, your fellow employees, your fellow union members, your fellow trade association members to hopefully achieve a political outcome. That's a contribution. And yeah, we might be getting a little bit down to the weeds on wordsmithing here, but I do think it matters because what's our emotional connection to the word donation versus contribution? Think about how you're perceived. It's something you can't lose sight of.
Perhaps the other thing worth mentioning as we think about March Madness is not everyone in your group, in your PAC membership is going to be happy all the time. Sometimes things make all of us upset and we're not even sure why that is. But being able to pick up the phone and voice a concern, being able to handle some of the "it's just driving me mad" is exactly the hard work that we all have to do to hear people out and to be able to explain what's going on and understand what's driving that March Madness. So as PAC directors, it's a two-way street. It always is. We can refrain from causing trouble, but we can also be the person on the end of the phone who said, "Yeah, I hear you."
Yeah, and we can always stew over the naysayers and the ones that don't want to be involved. And I would just say, and I've said for years, you've got to move past those folks and, you know, really focus on the ones that are interested in hearing the reasons why and want to have an intellectual discussion about it.
Yeah, what do we always say in terms of rock star performance in this industry? We say that if you have 20% of your eligible class participating, you're doing best in class. Guess what? That's 8 out of 10 people in a room refusing to participate. If inside those two people who want to contribute, you're getting some comments, you're getting some feedback, maybe you're getting a little bit of bitter medicine that you don't want to take, you got to take it. You have got to listen to what people want to say. Can you imagine a customer service relationship where someone hands over money and then you say, "But I don't want to hear from you. I'm not interested in your opinions." That just isn't going to work for you long term. Get comfortable with rejection. Running a pack, as I used to say, you know, to people when I was at the graduate school of political management, is a little like taking your ugliest photos, slapping them up on match.com and just watching the thumbs downs roll in. Rejection is part of our business. It really is. You're not going to do 100% likes and yeses and acclamations. Most people are going to reject the idea of participation. You can still do amazing things with a small percentage, but amongst those people, you got to listen to their feedback and it's not always going to be flowers and sunshine.
And there's a reason why it's called hard dollars. These are the toughest dollars to raise. So maybe the March Madness lesson here is don't get mad, get better. David Schild, Adam Belmar, thank you both. And thanks to everyone listening. Subscribe and meet us right back here for more Facts About PACs.